Now, I need for... I'm not going to preach long this morning. It's going to be a brief message. But I need for you to sit up, and I need for you to pay attention. And I don't need for you to be talking. People behind you have got to hear. Now, we've got LCA buildings full. We've got the fellowship hall. There's people looking on trying to get in. We've got a couple hundred people trying to get in right now. We're going to have to put somewhere. Now, the closed-circuit TVs are working, and I don't know... You folks are watching this on TV. Hi, Mom. I want you to listen and to sit up straight and pay attention. If you would, it'll be a brief sermon, right to the point, and I want you to listen very, very carefully. John chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." I want you to take your pen and circle those two words, "not condemned." "But he that believeth not is condemned." Circle the word "condemned" there. "Is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, verse 17 is very interesting. Look, please look this way and listen carefully. God did not condemn us. God sent his Son to help us who were already condemned. In verse 17, "For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now listen carefully. I want to talk to you for about 15, 20 minutes on the subject, look and live. Look and live. And I want you to listen and hang on every word if you would. And I promise you, you'll learn something if you'll just pay attention. I want you to put your pens up. When you get, you write the title down if you want to, put the pens up. I want you to look this way and listen carefully. Now, Father, help me now to help the dear people. This is so important. Heaven is real. Hell is real. People who die without Christ spend eternity in hell. And, Father, you didn't send your Son, nor do you send preachers, to condemn people to hell. But you sent your Son to save people so that they would not go to hell. Now, Holy Spirit of God, help me to help the people, please. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Now, no more folding chairs. That's it. Everybody just freeze right where you are. If the folks are not in the auditorium, you sit, there's closed-circuit television sets. Go ahead and set chairs up there. But I want everybody to freeze. Ushers, I want everybody. Find you a spot right now, and I want everybody to sit down. I don't want anybody else walking in or nobody walking out. We'll be through in a few moments. But I want everybody to freeze. Everybody needs to hear the man of God this morning. So you find your spot, you sit down, and everybody, still walking around, sit down. All right, everybody have a seat. Everybody look this way, and you listen intently for the next few moments, and I promise you, you'll learn something that'll help you. It could make the difference between heaven and hell. "He that believeth on him," the Bible says, "is not condemned." And boy, I just don't know of any better news than that. It doesn't say that he believeth on the Baptist church shall be saved. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he that believeth on the Catholic church shall be saved. It does not say that. It does not say he that believeth on the Methodist church shall be saved. It does not say that. He didn't say he that believeth on the Episcopalian church shall be saved. It does not say that. It doesn't say he that goes to church shall be saved. It doesn't say that. There'll be enough Baptists in hell to hold a Bible conference. That's not going to save anybody. Going inside of a church building does not turn you into a Christian any more than going in a garage will turn you into a car. It doesn't say he that confesses his sins to a man shall not be condemned. It does not say that. It doesn't say he that gets baptized is not condemned. The Bible does not say that. It doesn't say he that turns over a new leaf is not condemned. The Bible does not say that. The Bible doesn't say he that quits his smoking, cussing, dipping, chewing, running around, or sinning is not condemned. The Bible doesn't say that. Listen carefully. The Bible says he that believeth on him, that's Jesus, is not condemned. Now, 37 years ago, last October, Longview Baptist Temple was started. And we've started our 38th year of existence here as a church in this town. And I promise you, the same old gospel message that's preached this morning is the same message been preached for all these years. And the question is, condemned or not condemned? That's the question. There's only two types of people on the sound of my voice right now. And it's whether you're condemned or not condemned. Do you have that poster there? Which one are you? Not condemned. All right? Which one are you? Condemned. Yeah. You're the one who went to Bob Jones. That's the reason. All right. Pull that out if you would and hold it there. Face the crowd. There's only two types of people in this room. Those that are under condemnation and those who have no condemnation. Now, please understand that God sent His Son not to condemn you because you were already condemned. What do you have to be condemned? Nothing. Not a thing. You were born a sinner. Well, what do I have to do to be not condemned? Nothing. There's nothing you can do. So in both cases, there's nothing. If you're here this morning, say, well, preacher, I've never been saved. Well, God did not come to condemn you. You were born a sinner. I have four children. They're all grown now. Hallelujah. I never had to teach my kids to do wrong. They did that naturally. You say, why? Because they were like their mother. That's the reason. But they just did... Well, just a little humor. Go ahead. But they just did that naturally. I spent my whole life trying to get them to do right. Now, why is that? Because it's in the nature of man to do wrong. Why? We are sinners by nature. A cat meows, a dog barks, and a sinner sins. Now, that's what we're... So the idea here, you have to understand, if you are not condemned, if you have been saved, that doesn't mean you're not a sinner. You do not come to Christ for perfection. You come to Christ for forgiveness. God loves all of us. God doesn't classify sin in the sense of, He looks down and says, but that's a worse person than that person. No, God loves everybody. God sent His Son to keep everybody from going to hell. So there are only two groups. I don't know which one you're in this morning, but you're either in the group that's condemned or the group that's not condemned. All right? Now, let me give you an example, this may be an old example, but let me, it may be a little dated, but let me give it to you anyway. O.J. Simpson. When O.J. Simpson was on trial, every poll in America said that the majority of Americans believed that O.J. Simpson was guilty of murder. Now, that's what they believe. Now, so I'm saying it's true, and I'm saying it's not true. I'm just saying that's what the majority of the Americans believed. It could be that after the case was over, he said to the judge, Judge, could I have my hat and glove back? That may have been what did it. I don't know. But if he's guilty, that was a funny one. If he's guilty... He is still, now don't miss this now, like it or not, he's not condemned. Now don't miss this now. Like it or not, O.J. Simpson is not condemned. If he's guilty, he's still not condemned. And he cannot be tried again for the same crime of murder. Legally, he cannot be tried. Now why? Because a trial was conducted. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a court had declared him not guilty and thus not condemned. Now, look at me. Look at me. I admit I'm guilty today. I admit I have sinned. I admit I've transgressed the laws of God. By the way, don't look surprised. You have too. And I confess that I'm guilty, but a trial was held 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus took my sins upon Himself and stood before God and was declared guilty at His own great white throne judgment and paid the penalty for my sins and the whole world's sins. Then He turns to me and the whole world and says, if you will, and here's the word, believe. If you will believe on me and trust me that I've paid your sin debt, you will not be condemned. Now, let's suppose that O.J. Simpson is guilty. He is still not condemned. Now, I'm not supposing. I'm telling you, I'm guilty. I'm telling you, not of murder. I've wanted to a few times, but I say to you, you're guilty. You're guilty. I'm guilty. There's nobody perfect in this auditorium. There's nobody perfect on the sound of my voice. No matter whether you're tucked away in that little corner up there, or whether you're in the foyer watching on television, or one of the other places on this property, you are, all of us, are condemned before God. Nobody's any better than anybody else. But God says even though we are guilty, we still may not be condemned. So I am not condemned. I cannot be tried again. Jesus was tried for my sins. He was found guilty for my sins. He died for my sins. He went to hell for my sins. He was resurrected for my sins. And by the way, for your sins also. So I'm guilty. A trial was held. Jesus stood in my place. He was found guilty for my sins. He paid the death penalty for my sins. He arose victorious over hell for my sins. He was guilty for my sins. He was condemned for my sins. And because of that, I am free. Now don't forget, he that believeth on him is not condemned.
Where's that word believe at? You got that, Brother Duckett? I want you to stand up here and hold that word believe if you would. Now, the difference between condemnation and no condemnation. Stand up on the chair so they can see you. The difference between condemnation and, boy, don't fall, whatever you do. We'll have an earthquake as sure as I'm standing here. And there's condemnation. Humpty Dumpty fell off the chair. But condemnation and no condemnation. Now, the Bible says, don't miss this, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So, the difference between condemnation and no condemnation is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't say anything about you got to quit your sins to go to heaven. Let's suppose you quit your drinking, and suppose you get saved and go back to drinking. Then that means you lose your salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I got some good news for you. And that good news is that Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty for your sins. And all you have to do is believe. Isn't that wonderful? God is so good. He makes it so clear in the Bible. And what does believe mean? All right, let me give you the story that's mentioned here. He mentioned in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now listen carefully. I'll explain to you what believe means. Jesus explained by the telling of this Old Testament story. There was a time when poisonous snakes bit the people of God. Thousands of people were dying. Moses goes to God and says, God, what can I do? Our people are dying. And Moses was told by God, go get you a pole. And I want you to beat out of a piece of brass a serpent. A brass, get that pole, would you, Brother Bowen? A brass, it's right in front of the piano organ. A brass, I put it on a piece, beaten into a piece of brass into the shape of a serpent. And I want you to put it on a pole. And I want you to take that pole. Come here, get in the middle here. Stand on that chair there. And he said, I want you to hold that pole up so that the people who will just simply look to that snake that's beaten, it's a piece of brass beaten in the shape of a serpent. Now, why a serpent? Because that which was biting the people was a serpent, a snake. And that which would save them has to become a serpent or a snake. How can you be saved? Only if Jesus becomes what's killing you. And Jesus became sin, and that what was sending you to hell. And so Jesus became what you are and what I am, and he died for us, took his sins upon him, and he died and went to hell, and miraculously somehow paid our sin debt in hell and was resurrected. Now here's two persons, all right? Help us, Randy. I want you're bitten by a snake. Fall out, son. Fall out. He's bitten by a snake. There you go. Move on, son. Move on out a little bit so I can see you. All right? What are you laughing at, son? You're bitten by a snake. You get out there and fall out. So here's another one bitten by a snake. It was a female snake. He'll never get back up again. But he's bitten by a snake. Now, the difference is, or maybe it was a mother-in-law snake. You never know. And so here's this snake that's bitten them. Moses goes to God, said, what can I do? Moses was told by God, get you a pole, get you some brass, beat it in the shape of a serpent, hold it up, and then Moses, tell the people, look! Tell the people to look! Tell the people to look! If they'll look, they'll live! Now, watch it. If I said to these men bitten by a snake, hey fellas, you look to that snake and you'll be healed. Now, if one guy looked, said, I don't believe that. Now, if he said, I don't believe that, he's not looking. But another fellow says, I believe that, he's going to look. Let's suppose that Randy shakes his head and says, I don't believe that. What in the world? Looking at a shape of a snake on a pole? Well, how in the world is that going to save me from that? So he shakes his head, no. Let's suppose that Brother Lane Jr. there, he decides that he's going to look and live. So he looks, stand up. So he looks and lives. Now, the difference between the two, both of them bitten by the same thing. Nothing they could do about the bite of the serpent. Not a thing at all. But God said, if you'll look, you'll live. Now, one said, I don't believe, so he doesn't look. Another fellow says, I believe, and he looks. I'm telling you what, I'm so fed up with this modern religion, I don't know what to do. Got a bunch of pious churches where poor people aren't welcome, sinners aren't welcome. Shut the thing down and go home. Brother, a church is meant to get people saved. Reach in the highways and hedges and get the gospel out. Now, I'm simply saying that you better understand something. It's not you straightening up your life going to get you saved. The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. He that believeth is not condemned. So the difference between condemnation and no condemnation is one fellow looks and he lives. The other fellow says, I don't believe that thing can heal me. So he doesn't look and he dies. Now this morning, the choice is yours. Not all they that do, all of those men looked. It's not joining anything. It's not confessing anything. It's no ordinance. It's no sacrament. It's no Sabbath day keeping. It's no Old Testament sacrifices that get you saved. Jesus was condemned for us. He became our substitute for us. That's what that snake is. That snake is a picture of the substitute. Jesus is a substitute. He was also held on a pole. He was also put on a cross. He also was held up as a sinner. He died between two murderers and two thieves, and he was held up. Was he a sinner? No. He took up our sins upon himself, and he died. Now, what are you going to do? This morning, what are you going to do? Well, I think I'll join the church. Then you'll die and go to hell. Well, I'm going to smoke it. Getting to me. I think I'll quit my smoking. Then you'll die and go to hell. I'm dipping here. I think I quit the dipping here. Almost swallowed it right there. Well, you quit your dipping and it'll help you and you won't get cancer of the lip, but you'll still die and go to hell. Well, and I cuss. Dirty bric-a-brac-a-brac-a splatter rip. And I think I'll quit my dirty bric-a-brac-a splatter rip cussing. All right, you quit your cussing, you'll still die and go to hell. Well, they'll put a white shirt and a tie on and get me a Bible and go to church. You'll still die and go to hell. But I think I'll join the Baptists, the Methodists, the Catholics, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, and join everything in town. You'll still die and go to hell. You say, well, I think I'll get baptized in every church in town. You'll still die and go to hell. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the spokesman. I'm telling you what God said, and the difference is believe or not believe. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you what the Bible says, that you've got to believe on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, or you will not go to heaven. Son, you ain't going to live forever. One of our dear members called me Thursday night, and he said he has cancer. Found out Thursday he's got cancer. He's a good man in this church. But he's going to die. He knows he's going to die. But he said to me, he said, death's not so bad. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Hold it. Same night, talked to another man, cancer, dying. But I tried to get him to trust the Savior. He wouldn't do it. Now, both of them have cancer. Both of them going to die. But one's going to heaven, the other's not. Not because one joined a church, not because one got baptized, not because one decided to go to church every Sunday. No, the difference is, are you going to look at the one that's on the pole? Jesus died for your sins, and if you'll trust him, then you'll go to heaven. Now, please don't misunderstand me this morning. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm trying to help you. The issue is, are you going to look? No, it's not one step of believe and another step of look. It's believe, look. That's what, believe, look. Look, live. It's all the same thing. It's not four or five steps to get saved. It's not 16 steps to get saved. It's one. Jesus is on the cross. He's died for you. There he is. He's been buried for you, resurrected for you. Now, what are you going to do? Whatever you do with Jesus Christ. I was age 11. I went to church on a Sunday night, and that preacher preached hell, fire, damnation. Buddy, I was scared when he got through preaching. I went home and said to my mama, Mama, I think I'm going to hell. Every time he preached, he pointed right at me. I found out later I wasn't the only one. But I got in my bedroom, got on my knees. My mama told me what to do, and I asked Jesus to save me. Now, wait a minute. The moment I did that, I was not condemned. I hadn't done nothing. Man, I'll tell you what. I hadn't stolen anything. I hadn't quit stealing anything. I hadn't started stealing anything. There was nothing I'd done. I got on my knees. I asked Jesus to save me. That's all I did. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what I did. Now hold it. Everybody look at me. Listen to me. You're one of these two. You're either under condemnation, and we're born that way. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. We're born sinners. Before you ever heard of Jesus, you knew you were doing wrong. That condemnation was already there. But wait a minute. There's another group of no condemnation. Now, what's the difference? Hold it up high. It's believe. That's the difference. Here's the guy. Randy, you look like you're enjoying that too much. It's the best church service you ever had. And so Jesus said, let me tell you an Old Testament story. He said, a bunch of folks in the Old Testament got bit by serpents. And Moses came to me and asked me what to do. And I told him, fix them a pole. Put beets, take some brass, beat it into a shape of a serpent, put it up on that pole. If everybody will look, they'll live. Why? Jesus was put on the cross. He became a serpent for us. He became sin for us. So what do I got to do? You've got to look and you live. Look at me. If you don't look to Jesus Christ, you will die and go to hell. Not me. Not me. I'm human just like you are. Listen, I fuss just like you do. I cry just like you do. I hurt just like you do. I get mad and upset just like you do. Things don't go my way. I'm just like you. All of us the same. Nobody's any different than anybody else. But the difference with your eternity is what will you do with Jesus Christ? Don't forget this, as long as you live. Look and you'll live. Look and you'll live. Believe and you'll live. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one leaving. No one leaving. No one leaving.